Turn with me, please, to the Epistle to the Hebrews. I'd like to read here, as the Lord might help me. And first of all, we'll read in chapter 9. Chapter 9 and verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. Hebrews chapter 11 now, and verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith it is impossible to please God. Three things I want to speak about, as the Lord might help me, from the Epistle to the Hebrews. The first is the question of man's ruin and what sin will do. And so in this epistle we read, without holiness no man shall see the Lord. That's the first thing that God would teach in the preaching of the gospel. Without the holiness no man shall see the Lord. And then secondly, I want to point to the remedy. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. And finally, how that remedy can be obtained. Without faith is impossible to please God. Now these are the three great R's of the preaching of the gospel. The first thing that has to be preached is the ruin of all mankind. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's not a person entering into this world on the road to heaven. In the womb of our mother, we were shapen in sin. In the womb of our mother, we were conceived in sin. And when we entered into this life, we were heavily handicapped. It was more likely we would perish than be saved, because we brought with us a ruined nature. A sinful being entering into the world. And as we increased in our life, it was the very pattern of our life to sin. All have sinned. Not all have sinned to the same degree, but all have been born in sin and shapen in iniquity, and in sin did our mother conceive us. And then entering into this life, we began to travel the broad road, every one of us. Not one entered in by the narrow way. We started on the wrong road, heavily handicapped. And the greatest number that have entered on that broad road have continued their journey, year by year, through the span of life. Some of them entered into eternity young, others in manhood. Men die in darkness by our side. And I want to say the vast majority that enter into the world in their sin, they continue in their sin. And the Savior said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Now the Bible is very clear about the ruin of all mankind, black, white, yellow, or red, whether born of a Christian mother or in the darkness of some land where the gospel is never reached. Everyone entering on the wrong road. And it is most likely that they will perish on that road. For the Savior said, wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Narrow is the road, straight is the gate, and narrow is the road, narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Now our meeting is divided here this evening. First of all, we all started on the wrong road. But the meeting is now divided. Some of us, by the mercy of God and the kindness of God, we were able to be delivered from that broad and crowded way before the end was reached. You know, today I was thinking about the multitudes that have arrived at the end of their journey in life and have gone over the boundary line into eternity. And as our brother has pointed out, and rightly too, there are only two destinies on the other side. Which destiny are you traveling to this evening? You're nearer to your eternal destiny than you've ever been in your life before. And life is brief. We cannot boast ourselves even of another day. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And this day, beautiful though it was, many have entered into eternity. Some are spending their first moments in heaven with our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Absent from the body and present with the Lord. I wonder if you were to pass away tonight along the highway. I wonder if something would happen tonight in your bedroom and you'd waken up to the realization, my life is ebbing away and I'm going into eternity. Let me ask you a plain question. Have you any hope beyond life? Or are you here this evening wandering on the broad and crowded way with your sins all unforgiven? Sin and God can never dwell together. Know what the Savior said? If you die in your sins, if you die in your sins, where I am, ye cannot come. No tears of a parent, no prayers of a preacher, no nothing can avail if you go without the Savior, young man, down the highway. An accident occurs into eternity, not saved. Your sins not blotted out. You will perish. And let me say solemnly, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. I cannot understand it. It baffles my mind. It brings tears to my eyes to think that someone here might go over the boundary line and find themselves lost. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. We used to sing, eternity's ages thy soul has to face in blackness of darkness or riches of grace. Let me ask you a plain question now and answer it honestly in your heart. If your heart stopped beating, if a sudden seizure came, an accident by the highway, is there a man here who will be honest enough to say, if I die as I am, I have no hope? It's the first step on the way to recovery and salvation, to find out that you're lost and on the wrong road, perishing in your sins, going down to the pit. The wages of sin is death. And if you die in your sins, the Savior said, where I am, you cannot come. Oh, you say there must be some reprieve. There must be some day in the future when God will change His mind. No, the Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We're all bound for eternity here tonight, every one of us. The great question is, will you be honest tonight before God? And I want to be honest before God. Are you bound for heaven and home? Or are you hoping to go there, but you've made no provision? You're depending on things that the Bible will not give you any ground to depend upon. There's only one foundation. I'm going to speak about it. And so the Bible makes it clear that all are sinners in the sight of God. And none who die in their sins can ever be in heaven. One sin unforgiven is enough to banish a man throughout the ages or a woman for all eternity. When I think of strong men dying in their sins, touches my heart. When I think of a gentle woman dying in her sins, it brings a tear to my eyes. When I think of a grandmother going into eternity with no hope, it makes me weep. When I think of a young man, his teens, cut down on the highway, going into eternity, and people would place him in heaven, we don't like to think they've gone to the pit. But the Bible says clearly, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. He that believeth not shall be damned. I say it tenderly. I hope you understand. My heart is touched. It has often wakened me in the night, and I've thought of the hundreds of people I've preached to in my lifetime, and I ask God, was I faithful to the Word of God? Was I in the right spirit? Had I a tender heart? Did I desire the salvation of those people to whom I preached? Or was it simply a job and simply the passing of time? This meeting has given us, our brother and I, great concern. It's not just a passing meeting. In our gathering are young people without Christ. In our gathering are those who are growing old in their sins. In our gathering are young women, and they have never received Christ personally as their Savior. Without the holiness, no man shall see the Lord. You must be born again or never enter heaven. The sin question must be faced in order that heaven will be your home. You say, how can I have my sins forgiven? How can I know that they're washed away? I read that lovely verse, without the shedding of blood is no remission. No, the Bible is a blood-stained book from cover to cover. When we look back into the Old Testament, we see rivers of blood. We see lambs and goats, and we see heifers and animals dying at the altar. The altars of old, blood upon them. The cry of dying creatures, blood shedding. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. But all the blood that was ever shed on a Jewish altar, we used to sing, not all the blood of bulls and goats on Jewish altars slain can give a guilty conscience peace or wash away one's stain. But Christ, the heavenly Lamb, bear all our sins away, a sacrifice of nobler name, of richer blood than they. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I read, without the shedding of blood is no remission. There's only one way to have the sin question settled. A substitute must be found. One capable of bearing the judgment that we deserved. But the victim, who shall find it? Who will make that victim bleed? In all the universe of God, no animal or bull or sacrifice, no religious rite or ceremony can wash away a sinner's guilt. But at the right hand of God, there was one who said, here am I, send me. God had only one Son. He created multitudes of individuals of all nationalities and kinds. He created angels, brought them into His presence. But from all eternity, before an angel was ever there in the glory, or man was ever created, the Father, our God and Father, had one Son, the Eternal Son, the Son of His love. God loved His Son before the foundation of the world. Having one Son, His well-beloved, He sent Him forth. Oh, what a day when He came from the ivory palaces and was found lying in a manger dark and bare. Why did He come? Listen to the words of Scripture. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Salvation is found not in religion, not found in reading books or signing cards or baptism or any such thing. No doctrine, nothing that you can give or say will save the soul. There's only one way to be saved. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is my great joy here to represent our Lord Jesus Christ. It is my great joy to have been called by the Father to explain to people His love for sinners in their mother tongue. Go ye into all the world and preach in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Preach to men and women the Savior's death, burial, and glorious resurrection. There on that old rugged cross beyond the city gate, He went bearing His own cross up to Calvary. And when He was nailed on that tree and lifted up, something took place that will never take place again. Once for all, what was it? God laid upon Him the iniquity, the guilt, the judgment that was due to guilty sinners. For God so loved the world. That's the world of lost men. That's not the world of fallen angels. It's the world of sinners lost. God loved the world of sinners lost, sang the poem long ago. God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost He offers, free to all. Our brother received it when he was young. I go back to the night when I was 19 years of age, when I bowed my knees for the first time in the presence of God, not like our brother who lived a clean and honorable life. I was a ruined wretch, defiled by sin, moving in World War II in the cockpit of an aircraft against the enemy. My mouth was full of cursing and bitterness. For the night I bowed as a sinner, only I was lost, and I would perish in the lake of fire. But Christ died for sinners. And I claimed Him to be mine, this friend so dear. He walks with me, He's ever near. 10,000 charms around Him shine. But best of all, I know He's mine. Do you know Him as your Savior here tonight? When life is passing, when the dew of death is on your brow, every one of us are bound for eternity here tonight. This matter that we're dealing with is not just putting it time as a preacher or so on. We're here because eternity's ages thy soul has to face in blackness of darkness or riches of grace. If you die without Christ, you'll perish for all eternity in the lake of fire. God desires not the death of any. He sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. And I believe, if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be here, that we can make a genuine offer to any sinner anywhere, black, white, yellow, or red. Racism has nothing to do with me or with the gospel. God loves every man breathing air on Mother Earth tonight. Every sinner, however vile he may be, is a candidate. And we can make a genuine offer. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is holy. Without the holiness, no man can see the Lord. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. I love the words, redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. When we speak of the precious blood of Christ, we're speaking about His life that was laid down on Calvary's cross. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and was buried in the garden tomb of Joseph. But He tore the bars away. He rose. This very Lord's Day reminds me of an empty tomb and the stone rolled away. Come see the place where the Lord lay. He's no longer there. He has conquered death and put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself once for all. O sinner, believe it. He lives tonight, the power of an endless life. He's in the glory. And furthermore, He's here in our midst. Here in our midst, He's standing today. We represent our Lord Jesus Christ. We preach Christ. We have no other message to preach. I have preached Christ all the days of my life. In every part of the world I've ever been. We don't waste time telling stories and playing on emotions. We preach a living Lord Jesus who is able to save the vilest sinner outside of hell. Will you believe it? We come now to the crisis moment in this meeting. We have set before you the ruin of man. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. We've set before you salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You are a free will agent. There's not one person here needs to leave this meeting without Christ. You say, well, I didn't come to be saved. Someone invited me. I didn't come here to make any choice. Well, you have a choice to make. Every one of you, every boy and girl here. The choice is this. What will you do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? You're a ruined sinner. He shed His precious blood. For whom was that blood shed? It was shed for rebel sinners. There's power in the blood to cleanse the vilest sinner here. I don't care you've lived your whole life in sin and wickedness. I don't care that you have blasphemed God's name and that you have lived in immorality. It doesn't matter what condition you're in here tonight. There is no sin that precious blood cannot erase. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Precious, precious blood of Jesus, shed on Calvary. Shed for rebels. Shed for sinners. And one day in my life I saw it was shed for me. As He went up to that old rugged cross and was nailed upon it and hung on the slope at Golgotha, men jeering Him and mocking. God laid upon His holy Son the judgment that was my due. Listen to these lovely words. He was wounded for our transgressions. He had none of His own. He was the only sinless one that ever moved here without a blemish. No spot of sin can be found in that Holy One. He could not sin. Pure and undefiled, the lily of the valley, the altogether lovely one, the rose of Sharon, 10,000 charms around Him shine, marked by absolute honesty, absolute purity. Every one of us saved here were ashamed, as Christians even, of our walk and ways. But we're not ashamed of the one we profess to love, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Turn your eyes from the world and from your own thinking and gaze by faith upon Calvary. For whom my heart were all those sorrows born? Why did he go to that old rugged cross and shed his precious blood? The Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That was the ultimate, the termination of his purpose. That was the aim that was ever before him. He spake of it, he thought of it, before he came into this world from all eternity. He viewed it. And when the Father desired him to go, he said, "Here am I, send me. I'll go and take the place of guilty men." For angels, he made no provision. They were expelled. God passed them by, greater creatures than we. But a world of lost men that hate him, that blaspheme him, that put him out of their countries, that despise and reject him. He sent his Son to die for everyone, that they might be saved. He loved a world of lost men. I cannot understand it. And as they spat in his face, he said, "Father, forgive them. Not only forgive the thief and forgive the centurion, but forgive these men that blaspheme thy name, that are hateful. These cruel sinners around me, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." The heart of our Lord Jesus is the same today. He loves sinners. I can say to you tonight, whoever you are, God loves you tonight. Christ died on the middle cross that you might be forgiven. He waits for the answer. What will your answer be? "What shall I do then with Jesus?" Pilate said, who is called the Christ. You've got to do something tonight. Let me bring it home. We're not asking you to raise your hand. We're not asking you to join our company. We're not asking you even to come and speak to us. If we meet you in the glory by and by, it'll suffice. This is a matter between you and the Lord Jesus tonight. Before you get into your bed, will you kneel down and own that you're a sinner? Will you receive the blessed Christ? John 1:12 says, "To as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of men, God, even to them that believe in his name." Is there a young man that has been prayed for and you're into sin? Maybe tasting drugs and liquor and your language is foul and your mother doesn't know it. What are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Is there a young wife here and you're not faithful? Is there a man in business and you're playing double games? Is there a sinner here tonight and you've sinned for years, your sins are black and foul? Let me tell you, you can have forgiveness without baptism, without joining our company. You can have forgiveness without offering money. We want nothing from you. God is offering you a gift tonight. The gift of God is eternal life. And the original scripture says the free gift. The free gift of God is eternal life. Oh, you say, "I've sinned for years. No one knows the wretchedness. As I go to bed tonight, I've a black past. As I go to bed tonight, I've got a conscience that's concerned. What shall I do?" Nothing. Only trust him. He'll never turn you away, said him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Bow your knee at your bed tonight before you sleep and say, "Lord Jesus, I listened to the gospel. I heard those men preach of judgment to come and of the ruin of man. And I heard them speak of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he loves sinners. And I can have a new life. I can begin for God and live for God in my lifetime." Maybe there's a lad here. You've reached responsibility. A child of prayer. Grandfather saved. Grandmother saved. You're here. And you're going to school and you're beginning to learn the filth of the world. It'll draw you away and you'll lose your soul. God loves little children. When he was here, he'd suffer the children to come to me and forbid them not. How many times in my life, now that I'm old, people have come to me and said, when I was a little boy and you came to preach, it made me weep and tremble. And I came to Christ when I was a teenager. I didn't forget the preaching. Train up the child the way he shall go. When he is old, he not depart from it. Today, children are to be entertained, is what the religious world wants. The gospel is not an entertainment. It's an offer of eternal life. The forgiveness of sins. He said to the children, suffer the children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He said to an old man, come to me and I'll give you eternal life. To a leper, estranged and guilt and disease upon him, he touched him. He was careful. He was kindly. Him that cometh to me, whether he's rich or poor, whether he's guilty, vile, and sinful, whether he's in the prison house of destruction, whether he's a drunkard and a man with a foul tongue, whether he's deceitful and wicked, whatever he is, or whether he's religious without Christ, tell them that I love them. I gave myself for sinners. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You get down at your bedside tonight and come to Jesus Christ. He'll never turn you away. If you leave this meeting tonight, you don't need to wait to speak to me. I'm not one of those that ask people to wait and speak. I've spoken to very few people personally in my life when they've come to the matter of this matter of salvation. This matter of salvation doesn't call for hand raising and waiting behind and talking to someone. This matter is your decision. To be made by yourself in the silence of your own room before God and at your bedside. We are not here to boast of converts. We are here to see people awakened by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. To see that they're guilty and that Christ is the only Savior. And he says, him that cometh to me I'll no wise cast out. Will you come? Oh, I do pray. Meeting is now over. We're going to pray, sing a song. And we don't know who's here. The brethren don't know who's here. There's none of us know exactly everyone that's here. But God knows you tonight. And as you slip away home to your house, God preserve you on the way. Get down before him at your bedside tonight, young man. Have this matter settled for eternity. God may be calling you to do a great work. He may be calling someone here to serve Christ. He may be calling some old man with a wasted life to start anew. Will you do it? Promise me you'll think when you leave and get home. Go to the quietness of your bedroom and sit down. Take the book in your hand and say, Lord Jesus, I want to know my sins forgiven. I want to be sure that heaven will be my home and that I never perish in that awful place called hell. And I'll have Christ as my Savior. May God bless you, everyone, as my earnest prayer and the prayer of our dear brother. Shall we pray? Our Father, we ask thee that these words of truth and soberness, spoken, we trust, from the very depths of our heart, might reach the hearts of sinners here, and that this conference may be crowned with the blessing of salvation. One soul for eternity saved here is worth everything. But there are many, many precious souls here, some of profession, but no reality. Some, there's no evidence in their life they've been born again. Others have never professed, but they would like to be saved. Some perhaps are careless and will go away and soon be laughing with the world. But whatever is the case, we pray that thy gracious Holy Spirit may use the twofold cord of the gospel to bring someone to our Lord Jesus Christ this night before midnight by a bedside somewhere in the city that someone might come to the Lord Jesus and have salvation. This is our earnest prayer in the worthy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now shall we sing our closing song, which has three verses in it. And we're going to sing the three verses, and then we're going to desire you to go home and think over what you've heard. If anyone wants to have a conversation with any of the brethren, you'll be made very welcome. But they can't save you. You sit down here and talk to you till midnight, we can't save you. Between you and God. Number 40. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.